post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to The Near Post. My name is Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio is our resident analyst, as always, Arif Hussain. How are you, Arif?
How you doing, Eamon?
Not too bad. And Michelle Bertrand. How are you, Michelle?
I'm well.
Good. Oh, you don't sound well. Sound like a Newcastle Jets fan.
I'm still crying.
Well, you can have plenty of time to cry on this show because we're going to give you heaps. Okay, thanks to Capital Football for the show. And we're talking football as always. What's coming up in the show, Michelle?
Oh, coming up in the first half hour, we've got Arif's big issue. We've got the A-League. We've got the Nutmegs. We've got an interview with futsal roo Danny McCaw, Matilda's team manager, Joe Sanders. We've got the quiz questions and more.
And you can email us on the show if you want to contact us on thenearpost2xx@gmail.com. And if you want to hear the show or any bits of it that you missed, www.nearpost.blogspot.com. You can catch the podcast on the blog there. Okay, we always start the show with a dedication, and this week is no different. A special week in Australia, and we'd like to do our very, very, very small bit for Indigenous Australian relations. So we'd like to dedicate the show to all Indigenous Australian footballers. Harry Williams, Travis Dodd, Casey Weirman, Lydia Williams, any more? Jade North? I think that's a few
that's
that are from the Socceroos. David Williams is an Oliroo on the way up. So there's a few around, and hopefully there's more to come. So, yeah, we want to see more Indigenous Australians playing for, well, just playing football generally. We don't really mind what level they play, but if they play for the Socceroos, even better. Now, quiz question. Australia got to the World Cup.
They did. I was there.
The World Cup final. In which year? That's not the question. And which code? Yes, the Australians have been at the World Cup. They were at the World Cup final in New Zealand in 1999. Okay, the under-17 Australian team is the only Australian team that has made a World Cup final, the boys under-17. Which of the current Socceroos squad, or two of the current Socceroos squad, I guess I'll give you a clue, two of the current Socceroos squad played in the World Cup 1999 under-17 final, which I hasten to add, Australia lost on penalties 9-8 to Brazil. So, see how you go on that, Arif.
Do I get to get both of them or just one?
Oh, if you get one, I'll give it to you.
Is the marquee player a hero or a dud? The near post is clear as mud.
Okay, Arif, there it is. There are two players played in the World Cup 1999 in New Zealand, under-17 final.
From Perth glory to the Central Coast.
I do remember that year, that World Cup, under-17s.
You do? That's a start.
Yep, it was a very good showing from our boys. And at least one of them, I remember.
Oh.
He was just banging the goals in that year. Celtic.
That's the lad.
Scott McDonald.
Scott McDonald, that's right. And who was his partner in crime?
Was it Josh Kennedy?
It was. Arif, you're on fire, mate. Okay, so Scott McDonald and Josh Kennedy. And it's interesting how they've come through.
Absolutely. Good on them. And they look like they know how to play with each other. And good things to come, I think.
Well, that segues, as they say, nicely into our section on the show about Arif's big issue. The Socceroos, should we book our tickets for South Africa? What do you say, Arif?
I think Michelle here is pretty keen to book her tickets, but
3-0 against Qatar.
With
Cruz, you're not happy?
I'm happy with 3-0, but I think it's a little bit too early to get too excited. I mean, hey, book your tickets because the World Cup. I've been there. It's a fantastic experience, but
okay. What was your concerns?
My concerns are
were you happy? You're happy with the performance, right?
Absolutely. Definitely happy.
So Pim Hussain is happy. Good on you, Pim. That's good to know.
Aussie Pim. He came through for me.
Yeah.
It was good to get a goal early because I've watched Socceroos matches where we've taken a long, long time to get goals. But
Michelle, how were you when the first goal went in? You're relieved about that?
Oh, yes, it was exciting. I mean, we had three early goals.
We did.
First half hour.
When do you get three goals, 3-0 up after about 30 minutes, as you say, Michelle, in an international football? It doesn't happen. Does that mean we're brilliant, or does that mean Qatar were garbage?
I don't know if Qatar were garbage, but they didn't play very well. They played very, very deep. In the second half, they adjusted, and you know they caused us a couple of problems in the second half. I mean, sure, we kind of put our foot off the gas, but now a couple of things why we probably shouldn't get too excited on the back of one, 3-0 win. Is that it's only the first group stage. There's another group stage after this. I mean, yeah, we're probably drawn into the group of death, as groups of death go. We've got China and Iraq and Qatar. Qatar probably is the weakest team of the four. So, you know, even though we scored three goals and we played quite well, I think most people expected us to win that.
No, never in doubt.
They were in doubt.
In fact, we predicted it on the show.
I think we did.
I think we went for 2-0, but there you go.
Yep.
So you think container excitement. Who stood out for you on the night? Either Michelle or who did you think done the job for them, those for Australia?
Actually, I thought they all did pretty well.
Branko. Yeah, not Branko.
His little kid, Branko's little kid, Jason
Kalina. I thought Jason Kalina had an outstanding game, and he controlled the game in midfield, and you know, smothered any offense. Even though we scored three goals, what really I was impressed with was the fact that we just didn't allow Qatar even a shot on goal in the first half, and that's the kind of, you know, it's all well and good to score the goals, but I think World Cup qualifiers, I think defence is where it's at. And especially in the last, you know, our defence is, we're getting, you know, we're changing our defence.
So you wouldn't have been happy in the second half. I'd like to say Craig Moore went out with a bang. I don't know whether you saw that halfway through the second half.
He did.
Good to see Maury, you know, just a little bit of biffo.
Yep.
But he also got skinned. Qatar had a couple of chances there. That,
they did. They did. And
they should have scored, shouldn't they?
They should have.
Yeah. The guy who kicked it into the side netting. That was a bit of a...
You like the way he used his right foot. Oh, we love to laugh at people who can't play football.
I think that was one of the positives.
That was a positive.
No. One of the positives was the way we defended.
I'm as biased as you. No, it was a positive when he kicked it wide.
He missed it. I was going to score.
Yeah, I was pretty. I mean, 3-1. I mean, that could change the game. You know,
it could have. But we probably shouldn't be banking on too many of those kind of misses against our next opponent, China.
Now, if we win the next game against China, 6 points. Big Pim, Aussie Pim says we need 12. So we could be halfway. We could be home and hose really if we win the next game.
That's a big if, Eamon. It's a big if. Now, we've got a couple of things going against us in the China game. We've got a big hostile crowd. Chinese, they're pretty passionate about their football. And we'll be up against that. Altitude, 2,000 metres above sea level. Who knows?
Who
good
knows?
Thing, bad thing.
Okay, well, we'll no doubt follow the Australian-China game in more detail as it gets closer. But thanks very much, Arif.
We'll
be back very shortly with an interview with Futsal Roo, Danny Makor.
From Perth glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post, going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.
The Futsal Roos had a great time at the KL World Fives in Malaysia recently. Danny Makor made a return to the Futsal Roos after a 7 years gap, and here's what Danny had to say.
Daniel, can you just tell us a little bit about the tournament?
Basically, it consists of 10 teams. It's invitational, and we were drawn in a group with Indonesia, Malaysia, England and Argentina, and obviously you had a stronger group as the second group, which was with Brazil, the Dutch, Iran, which is eight-time Asian champions, Thailand, which are in the top 10 in the world. The tournament was fantastic in regards to us making a semi-final and end up losing to Brazil, which is no disgrace. But
so you got a favourable draw, and
Without a doubt, we got a favourable draw. But
and you had three good wins against Malaysia, Indonesia, and England. How was the standard of those games? Did you think?
I thought the standard was good, to be honest. A lot of the teams are on par. Maybe England are a level down from a lot of the teams, but they are semi-pro outdoor players playing indoors, so they're still learning the game. Indonesia and Malaysia, going off past results from the Futsal Roos, we probably haven't even beaten them by more than three goals. So to beat Indonesia 5-2 and Malaysia 7-0 on their home turf is, I think it's a fantastic result.
And, of course, against Argentina, you were 3-2 up with a minute to go.
3-2 up with a minute to go, and the goalkeeper scored an absolute bomb. It was something that we should have probably pushed out towards him, but they pressed with five players on the court and, rode their luck and probably in the end probably got their just dessert, but it does hurt with a minute to go.
Sure, and then you ended up playing Brazil, lost 7-0 to Brazil, but that's not a disgrace. I mean, Brazil obviously are a top side at futsal.
Oh, they're unbelievable. They're like Argentina, full-time professionals, and to get out on the court, and to be honest, like 7-0, everyone goes, it's a bit of a thrash, and it's not. If anyone knows the indoor game, you're right up into the game. Whether we had heaps of chances, it wasn't the case. We've had a few, but we've actually kept the ball quite well, and, we've actually given it a good go. It was 3-0 at halftime, so it just got a little bit away. In a three-minute period, they scored, turned on and scored three goals, but 7-0 is no disgrace at that level, to be honest. So.
You've been out of the game of the futsal international scene for about 7 or 8 years, Daniel. What made you return?
The challenge, to be honest. I know everyone goes, I'm 34 and so do I, but I thrive on the challenge and to see if I can still do it or not. And it's been a long time, and I only played the Nationals to go from the Nationals to a competition like the KL5s is a massive step. And I had a lot more improvement, to go if I want to keep playing, but I certainly did disgrace myself. So.
And your message to the guys, young guys playing futsal across Australia, whether they're under 7s or under 14s, if they want to reach the futsal roof standard, what would the message you'd give them?
Basically, to keep going, enjoy the game to begin with. If you want to reach the level of playing for Australia and know what it's like listening to your national anthem and you've got that hunger and desire, do it, because I know people sort of joke about indoor, but I'll tell you, once you're there and playing and going overseas, it's the best thing you could ever do. The Asian Cup is currently 6,000 to 8,000 people at every single game, and, where do you get that here sort of thing, so. And plus, like you said, when you're listening to your national anthem, it's an incredible feeling.
You are listening to the Near Post on the Australian Community Radio Network. Still to come, we've got A-League, and for Canberra listeners, Danny McCaw talks about his football journey, and we've got the Nutmegs.
And if you've ever wondered about the Matildas team manager or team managers in general and what they do, I caught up with Jo Sanders. She's the Matildas team manager, and she's probably got the best job in football. This is what Jo had to say.
Now, Jo, you've got a fascinating job. A lot of people will be amazed to hear what you do. What do you do?
It's hard to answer, actually. It's a good question. Essentially, I summarise it by saying that Tom, the coach, does all the on-field stuff, so all the tactics, technical and so on, and anything off the field essentially comes under my role. So anything to do with the team's travel, accommodation, I deal with contracts, I deal with any kind of issue that happens off the field, I'm involved in or manage. I've done the job since 2000. I was appointed just before the Sydney Olympics, but for the first 2 years, I actually didn't travel with the team. I actually managed it from the office, and then somebody else travelled with the team. Since 2002, I've travelled with the team almost non-stop. And some of the places we've been to, we've been to Europe, we've been to France and England, we've been to the Northern America, so we've been to Canada and the US, we've been to Mexico. But in recent years, we've done a lot in Asia because we've joined the Asian Football Confederation. So now a lot of our travel is up to Korea, Japan, China. I don't know how many times I've been to China. It's been a lot. So we now do a lot of Asian travel more than anything.
Obviously, it must be a nightmare. You must arrive places and occasionally things must be forgotten. What are some of the disasters that have happened, Jo?
We've actually been quite fortunate. I haven't had really any major disaster that has really impacted on any tour in a big way, but there's lots of minor things that happen every tour, and every tour something comes from left field that you've got to deal with that you've never had to deal with before. So I've got a lot of experience in traveling now, but on every tour there's something else. So, I mean, you've got the minor things like bags going missing and things getting broken and so on that you've got to just deal with at the time. Any medical issue is probably the most important, because if you have an injury or an illness or whatever, then obviously player welfare is the highest priority. Sometimes people missing flights is always a bit of a nuisance at times. But
so you're organising all the flights. If somebody misses a flight, you've got to coordinate that.
Yeah, and get them on another flight or something along those lines. But the players are actually really good, and they've because they've travelled so much in recent years, they're now really experienced at all of this, and they're actually a dream to work with. And each tour actually gets easier and easier because they're a lot more responsible as well. So it's they're actually a great group to work with.
So how does somebody get into a job like that, Joe? What sort of experience would young person listening thinking, yeah, okay, I might not make it as a player, but there's so many sports admin jobs around these days. How would somebody get into that job?
For me, actually, it was a bit of luck, but I did actually do a degree at the Uni of Canberra, and believe it or not, it was in sports coaching, which is a bit of a laugh now, but I realised early that I didn't really want to get into the coaching area, but I really liked the sports science side of things. But my first job out of uni was actually a sports administration, and that was at ACT Women's Soccer. And I was the only employee, so anything that had to be done, I did. So it was a fantastic experience. So I'd recommend anyone who is looking to get into sporting administration, start off at a club level or a state level and get into a role where you have to deal with all sorts of issues, from media, from tournaments, from, you know, managing teams, to dealing with competition issues and so on. It just gives you such a good grounding. And then I worked at the AIS for a while in the performance unit here, and then I got this job at the time it was Women's Soccer Australia.
And since we joined Asia, how have things changed for you?
A lot more frequent flyer points, a lot more time away, because we go to Asia a lot. We've got a lot of qualifying tournaments to play, and it's a lot more. It's a much higher load for everybody, for the players as well as all the officials. We do travel a lot now to Asia.
And there's more teams. I mean, obviously you go with the Matildas. Do you travel with other teams?
Yeah, I travel with the young Matildas as well, and very soon I'm going away with the under 17 women's team. And in the office, there's actually three managers at FFA manage the women's and men's teams amongst us. And so sometimes I've actually travelled with men's teams as well. So recently I got back from Vietnam with the young Socceroos. I've travelled with the Joeys before. So we share the roles.
And that was Joe Sanders from the Matildas. Now, the Near Post team they've expanded into humour. Well, I don't know whether it is humour, but you can decide. This is the Nutmegs. They're a football comedy group, so they like to think. So here it is from the Nutmegs.
So, Robbie, Sydney looked strong against the Roar until the first goal. What did you think of Ronaldo's goal?
Sydney looked strong, but then Ronaldo broke away. Great goal.
Could Sydney's defence have done better?
Look, it was a great goal, but the marking of Milligan left a lot to be desired.
Milligan?
Yeah, Mark Milligan. Didn't make the tackle.
Milligan?
Yeah, and he needed support from Terry Flynn.
Mac Flynn.
Exactly. If McMilligan gets beat, Flynn must be there in support.
It's Milligan and Mac Flynn.
I've been doing it all day, in fact, ever since the Asia Cup.
You sure have.
Milligan was caught out.
Milligan?
Yeah, he was caught out.
Who?
McMilligan and Flynn.
All three?
Yeah, the gap was huge. Cozzy needs to sort it out.
Who do you suggest he signs?
Lucas McNeil.
I don't know whether you call that humour, Arif. Are you going to give that a score out of 10?
Yeah, can I give it to myself?
Okay,
that was good. It was good.
That was good. Oh, thanks very much. So, we need a score. Go on.
Oh, I'll give it a 5.
Yeah, I'll sack the other bloke. He was hopeless. Okay.
Who's top of the A-League and who's coming last? The Near Post, get there fast.
Well, what a week!
What a week! A-League, yes.
Newcastle Jets fans, Michelle Bertrand. I mean, it's like. Tell us about it, Michelle. You had 2 feet. You had 1 foot in the final, and now you've got none.
Very, very disappointing. Oh, we've still got a chance.
Ah, that's what I want to hear. Well, you've got a great chance, haven't you? You're at home. Just talk me through the game there. First of all, the two scores on the weekend.
Yep. I'll take that one. Now, in the first game of the weekend, the minor semi-final, Sydney FC went up to Queensland to play the Roar, and unfortunately, the score was Queensland 2, Sydney FC 0. So,
well, I know a lot of people up in Queensland who are particularly, and perhaps around the whole of the country, who would say fortunately.
Yeah, no. So, they deserve to win, Queensland, I think.
Michelle, the score in the other game.
Oh, you're rubbing it in now, aren't
your
you?
Your shoulders dropped a fair while.
It was 3-0 to the Mariners.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was awful for them. It was. For Newcastle Jets. Okay, let's start with the first game. Sydney versus Queensland. The Roar, 36,000 people. Stacks of water on the pitch, stacks of rain. Fantastic to see.
It was amazing. 36,000 people in a torrential downpour. Imagine if that, if it was clear blue skies. Imagine
football's gone mad. 50,000 on Wednesday to the Socceroos. 36,000 in
fantastic
Queensland and 20,000 at the Central Coast.
Two nil to Queensland. And
what about the send off? Oh well, first of all, Ronaldo. Fantastic goal.
How about that goal?
Yeah. Great goal.
Yeah. Great goal.
I guess to people who think that their league's rubbish,
I don't know any people like that. All I would say, though, Mark Milligan did get a bit destroyed for the goal, but don't take anything away from the goal scorer.
Apparently, that goal has sparked some transfer activity, apparently.
Who for? Mark Milligan or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo. Some big clubs are apparently lining up to sign him, is what I've been reading.
Name the clubs.
Salt Lake City. I don't even know who they are.
Okay, but a good performance by the Roar.
It was.
Sydney seemed to run out of players and depth, I thought.
They did. And it didn't help with Juninho not starting.
Dodgy referee on that. Okay, I thought Mike Shields had a bit of a dodgy game. There was an incident before when Corica got pushed off the ball and then the ball went down in Middleby, who probably should have been sent off, but I don't know.
You make
your own luck in this game.
You do.
And Sydney are going off to holiday in Hawaii with David Beckham.
Well, you know, it's a pretty good consolation.
Well, if Queensland Roar lose to Newcastle on Sunday, they're out.
Good point.
When?
Sydney, they get nothing. Yet Sydney get to go to Hawaii.
Play Japan, teams with Gamba or
which
Sarka.
Apparently is not a holiday.
It's a four-way tournament, isn't it?
It's a four-way tournament.
Houston Dynamos, the American champions, Beckham's team, whatever they're called, and Gamba Osaka. Okay, so on with the Roar.
On with the...
Fantastic. What about Newcastle Central Coast? Michelle, at what point did you think the game was lost?
Right to the end. I was still hoping we were going to score, because if Newcastle had scored, we would have gone through.
That was one of the exciting things about the game, wasn't it? Mm. It was really, there was a couple of chances there. Matt Thompson, and I think Troy Hirfield went through at the start of the second half of extra time, and Vukovic saved it basically with his head.
It was a funny game. Newcastle just needed one goal, so I guess...
Didn't see much from Joel Griffith, though.
No, interesting that really. That's probably the thing, isn't it? Joel Griffith is probably
missing in action
most of the goals, and maybe a little bit injured. They talked about his hamstring beforehand, and maybe that was just enough to, kind of slow him down on the field a little bit. But Mark Bridge, Joel Griffith, they didn't really create too much, and also the young guys in midfield kind of were outmuscled by Jedinek and John Hutchison. I think he kicked everybody on the park.
but how about the crowd though? It was fantastic, wasn't it?
To see two sets of supporters in a stadium.
Absolutely.
Fairly
small stadium, but that's just going nuts.
And I know SBS won't like it, the standard of the football and all that sort of stuff, but it is just fantastic. That's football.
It was, wasn't it?
It was passionate, it was open, there were lots of mistakes, but, the game's about enjoyment and goals and passion, it's not just all about Ronaldinho and Henrik Larsson and the type.
That's your
people.
Second Celtic mention of the night, Eamon.
Yeah, so, for an Aussie football fan, to me, that show...
It was a very good showcase.
That's what I wanted to see.
Absolutely.
A packed stadium, people like Michelle are absolutely devastated. That's what you want to see, isn't it?
And the Jets played right to the end, I thought, even in extra time.
They did.
Because I kept hoping there was going to be a goal there.
Yeah, they just didn't seem to get it. What about the new guy? Song, the Korean guy, the under-20 Song. He didn't really. What a difficult game to throw him into.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a bit unfair, but
I thought he started okay. He did well. I thought
he did until he tackled Alvin Checkley and got booked. And
yeah,
but very, very hard to come into a game like that. Mm. I would think, and
on the big stage.
Okay, so we've got the game this weekend.
Got the game this weekend.
Your team's playing again, Michelle.
We're going to win this time.
Okay, that's what I want to
hear. It's a must-win game, so there's no second chances for this one.
Danny's back. Danny Teato's back.
He's back.
Will he lost the distance? He says he's a reformed character.
Will he kick someone? Will he start a fight?
No, don't block that. Okay, so Newcastle Jets. Who are you looking forward to win this game for you, Michelle?
The Jet is going to win, for
the
sure.
The Jet are going to win.
So we need all the supporters there this week.
Yeah, well, hopefully there'll be another big crowd. I mean, and also, the other thing about this game, it's a place up for Asia. Whoever wins goes to Asia.
Yeah, so it's got a lot riding on it. So, you know, it's I hope for the best. Just a good game, I think. These are both pretty good teams, you know.
Should be a great football game. I mean, Queensland have got some young players who probably didn't play to their best last week, but Frank Farina brought on Taj Minicant for Michael Zullo. And, I mean, again, having that youth to replace youth, it just made the difference. He got the penalty. He drove forward in that position. There's a lot of energy around the park. Ronaldo scored a goal when no one thought he could score. Yeah. I think it's... I don't know. It's going to be a tough one.
It'll be a tough one. And
great time to score, too.
Yeah, and and whoever wins that game will be going to the Sydney Football Stadium for the final.
Okay, so announced today, that is the stadium venue. Okay, so your predictions then. We'll start with Arif. Score time.
I hope that Newcastle do win because...
That's because you're sitting next to Michelle, to whack you off.
I think it'll be, you know, a good spectacle. Get the two passionate crowds there once again at Sydney. So just for that factor, I hope Newcastle do make the final. But, on their day, Queensland draw, they can... they're pretty good. I'm calling a 2-1. To the Jets.
Michelle?
2-0 to the Jets.
2-0 to the Jets. And I'm going for penalties.
Penalties?
Penalty shootout.
Because
it's going to be that tense.
Don't do that
close.
To me.
Yeah. Penalty shootout with the Roar to sneak home.
Roar to sneak home.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm sorry about that. But then again, I don't know anything about football. So there you go. You'll be right. Okay. Well, I look forward to Sunday's game. It should be a cracker. Michelle, no doubt, Fitzham is delighted that...
Yes, he's very happy.
Yeah, he's sitting laid back in the final, just waiting for you to join him. Will you be going to the final?
Yes, if the Jets there, I will definitely make my way there somehow.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Arif. And Michelle, stay with us now for the Canberra part of the show. And if you're going to the near post.
Get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Welcome back to the near post. We're talking local football. We've got an interview with Danny McCaw from Belconnen United. And we've also got Capital Football CEO Heather Reeds coming in. She tells us, I hope you're on the way, Heather. She's coming in to talk football for the opening of the outdoor season. Of course, football never stops in Canberra. We have the futsal season still going on. And we'll have more from the humourless nutmegs. But we've got a bit of music coming up. Firstly, if you want to email us, you can. nearpost2xx.blogspot.com. No, sorry, nearpost2xx@gmail.com, and catch the podcast on the blog at www.nearpost.blogspot.com. Remember, if you like your club or your team highlighted during the coming season, feel free to get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from your club. We'd love to let you have the chance to talk about your club on air. So feel free to get in touch with us. It's Indigenous Day in Australia tomorrow. Big apology, reconciliation. So here is a bit of Indigenous music for us. And that was the mission song from Indigenous group Tidus.
I'm Kai.
I'm Shay.
And I'm Irish.
And we love football.
You're listening to
2XX.
And I'm Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio is Arif Hussain, Michelle Bertrand, and CEO from Capital Football, Heather Reid, who we will be chatting to very soon. First up, we've got Danny Makor, her futsal room. We heard from him a little bit earlier. And also Belconnen United striker and a long-time player in the Canberra region. This is what Danny had to say about his football journey.
Last season, grand final runners-up. You're back for another season?
I certainly am, yeah. I can't stop. But I'm back with Belconnen for another season. I enjoyed last season under Steve Forshaw and just the boys that are at the team now. Just a great bunch of lads to play with.
And Steve Forshaw is also returning, of course. So
he's a big factor in my decision. I rate Steve very highly, and he's a fantastic coach and an even better guy. So which is great to have.
So Daniel, you played with a few clubs in Canberra. Started off with I think Juventus, was it?
Yep, started with Juventus in the junior days. I started there as under 19s. And then after that, I went to a season there, and then I went to Canberra Metro back in the day, which is Canberra Deakin, that played in the New South Wales State League. And I played there for a couple of seasons until it basically, as the Blue Devils, was no longer in the New South Wales competition. Then I went back to Juventus, and then I stayed there for a while and ventured to Monaro, which I had very successful, seasons there where we actually won a championship. And then I always wanted to finish off at Juventus, so I went back there. But as the new league came in, they were no longer, so I went with Belconnen after that.
So with the State League side from Canberra disappearing, has that been a blow to you in terms of your playing development?
Maybe not so much for me, but I do miss it. I think it's a great competition. When you're training three nights a week and playing every second weekend in Sydney, it's a level up. It's a few level ups playing the A-League, just in professionalism and improving yourself as a player. I think there's a concept going around Canberra that Canberra players, can't make the grade, which is so far from the truth. When you're training three nights a week as we did, and if you become professional like the A-League teams, your game's going to improve out of sight. And I miss that, I think for the young guys that are coming through, there's nothing for them to sort of grab and hold on to at the moment. So I think we're lacking at least, if not one State League side, maybe even two, to be honest. But not my call at the end of the day.
No. So what would you say with the highlight, Danny, for yourself playing either in State League or local football? What's been the best moment in your career?
I think definitely winning the Minor Premiership with the Blue Devils. I think that was fantastic. I think we won 9 points from first place with, I'd say, 7 or 8 rounds to go. And we clinched the Minor Premiership and actually making the grand final. Team-wise, that was just an unbelievable feeling, and the following year to match that was beating Sydney United in the semi-final on their home turf with about 5,000 people watching when we were 2-0 down with about 20 minutes to go, and end up pipping them on a penalty shootout. Those two stand out clearly, and as an individual moment, probably winning the New South Wales Player of the Year award. I thought that those three sort of stand out by far.
And you're only 34 years young. How many more years are you going to go on in the top level?
I take it year by year, but I definitely, at this stage, playing this year, and I'd say next year.